You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Monday's racing on this edition of the podcast. Got four meetings in total in the UK and Ireland on Monday, with racing at Exeter, Plumpton and Southwold domestically. There's also an Irish card over at Navan as well. You can hear the best of the action live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm in the company of Darren Owen, Gary Capewell and Lord John Budden. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair on this edition of the podcast, and joining me to look at some of Monday's races is the aforementioned John Budden. John, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, Sam. Better than Carlisle United, but there we are, and Cheltenham was great.
Indeed. I'm delighted that you've managed to navigate a safe passage from Cumbria, because I gather that it's pretty treacherous up there, John.
Well, the gale force winds are absolutely pouring with rain. Yesterday, Saturday afternoon, I sat on Armathwaite Station forlornly for an hour, but all the trains have been cancelled on the settled line, and eventually Mrs. B took me to Penrith, and I was able to get here via Manchester Piccadilly.
Good stuff, John. Good to have you with us, of course. As you mentioned there, what a fabulous week we've just had, of course, with Cheltenham. Some highlights of the meeting for you? There were plenty, obviously.
Well, I think you've got to take Frodon and Brownie Frost as the highlight. Quite fantastic, the horse, and the way that Brownie refused to give up. And, you know, she is the most fantastic ambassador for National Hunt Racing. And she's got a wonderful smile, and she rides tremendously well. And that interview she gave to Ollie Bell on the way back, you know, praising the horse and saying nothing about herself was typical. I'm afraid that some of the other lady riders might be getting slightly green eyes at the publicity which Brian is getting, but you know, it's well deserved, and she is an absolute shining light.
Absolutely. We're having a conversation out in the office immediately after that Ryanair, John, saying it's been difficult to remember a jockey have such an impact on a horse's form, because Frodon has scaled new heights for Bryony Frost.
Oh, absolutely right. And what she said after the race is absolutely true, that, you know, the horse appears to respond to her particular type of riding and her encouragement in the saddle in a way that, although he'd done pretty well before that, was never anything like the estimable way in which he has behaved this season.
Yes, absolutely. He wasn't an old boat prior to that, was he? But certainly his form has been taken to new heights.
Oh, absolutely tremendous. And it was a great occasion on the Ryanair. I, of course, my banker of the meeting was Mona Lee, who didn't run at all badly in that. And that, I suppose, brings us to other ladies who did tremendously well.
Rachel Blackmore,
Cheltenham, Rachel Blackmore in particular. One of the horses that struck me, actually, Sam, at Cheltenham, not in the Grade 1 races, but in the handicap for the first time, was ridden by Rachel Blackmore, and that was Our Plutard.
Yep.
For Henry de Blomhead. I thought that horse jumped and galloped splendidly, and if he is brought back up, slightly upgrade in the near future, I think he could easily turn out to be better than he has been earlier in the season. And then, of course, Lizzie Kelly, she also had a winner and rode it tremendously well. So, girls.
Yes.
but there were other great highlights, weren't there? I mean, you've got to say Altior and Tiger Roll were, tremendous on their particular day. Altior is so brave, and I hope he does go over a longer trip, because I think in a way he is now vulnerable over 2 miles. He pulled it out at Cheltenham this time and did tremendously well, but I just feel that 3 miles might be his trip now. So Altior, a star, Tiger Roll. Oh, God, goodness me, I've never seen a winner of the cross country more dominating than Tiger Roll. I read, though, in today's Sunday's Racing Post that Giggenstern are still just considering whether Tiger Roll is going to run for a second entry go at the Grand National or not. Well, that, of course, would be, you know, really interesting news, yes, to say the least.
Yeah, we definitely hope so. Not least because the horse is 5-1. So if you wanted to look away from Tiger Roll, he's taking plenty out of the market.
Absolutely, he's taking a tremendous amount out of the market. So it's an interesting possible move there, which we should have to watch for. The one other thing about Cheltenham, which you know, struck me a bit, was of course the dearth of northern trained horses. I knew it was going to be thin, but I was hoping that Duke of Navan, for example, would run in the Grand Annual. Understandably taken out by Nicky Richards because of the ground. Otherwise, I thought he would have run pretty well. You have to say Sam Spinner, though, was something of a revelation in the Stayers Hurdle.
That was what we expected from the horse 12 months ago.
Exactly. And when you consider what happened on the first two outings this campaign, yes, one began to think, oh dear. But actually, Jed O'Keefe's Star Stayers Hurdle did actually run quite well last time. But a tremendous performance in the Stayers Hurdle. I thought for one moment, when it looked as though Paisley Park might be having travel problems and perhaps wasn't going to pick up, that Sam Spinner was going to win. Well, he didn't quite win, but he ran a great race to finish second. So well done to Jed O'Keefe and everyone for bringing him back.
Yeah, indeed. Looked inconceivable that Paisley Park could win three from home, John. But
yeah, absolutely.
Another stunning performance to go with.
Yes,
a raft all week.
A really stunning performance, and another fine riding performance too. I thought Eddie Coleman, you know, did tremendously well on Paisley Park. He was patient. He tried to find his way through. He didn't sort of go too early. And when he did ask Paisley Park to quicken, the answer was, you know, pretty sensational.
Another great story as well, which will have captured the imagination of the wider public. Obviously, Paisley Park was the horse that gave Aidan Coleman his inaugural Grade One. He now has two, both on the same horse. We saw the scenes with the owner as well. So another great story, which just made for a fairy tale Thursday, really.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, say Thursday's hour, beginning with the Ryanair and concluding with Paisley Park, was absolutely fantastic. And I thought it was, extremely interesting to hear Bruff Scott saying that he considered that the finish of the Ryanair was the, quote, most exhilarating finish he had ever watched at Cheltenham.
Wow.
When you consider what Bruff Scott...
He's seen a few, yeah.
You know, you've seen a few and ridden in a few. That was pretty good. And it was a fantastic Thursday, there's no doubt about that. Everything after that was a bit anticlimactic, even the Gold Cup. We ought to say a quick word about the Gold Cup. Were you a Paul Townend supporter in the Gold Cup,
no,
Sam?
Sadly, I backed the wrong Willie Mullins horse, Kenboy, who departed at the first opportunity.
Yes, he did. With hindsight, I thought, you know, actually, our blue photo had every chance, because the horses, I felt there were definite holes in the lot of them. Clandes Elbow, would he actually pull it out over the tough Cheltenham Hill? Well, we know afterwards he didn't.
Yep.
The Irish with Presenting Percy, could he possibly win on that light preparation? Well, question mark. And the answer was he didn't. Native River, could he go back to back? Answer, he ran very well but couldn't quite do it. Might Bite Alas seems to have gone. There were a lot of holes, and when you got to it, the winner had every right to be thereabouts. A very good form finish of Punchestown, wasn't it, at the end of the last year, where for some extraordinary reason he jumped that wing with the last
that was a chaotic race, that was.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, he'd got ability, so with hindsight that's okay. And the final thing for the week, Sam, as far as I was concerned, the one that was missed and that was Potter's Corner in the Midlands National on Saturday. Yep. I don't know how I managed to miss it. The answer was I didn't look really carefully at the race as I was planning travel worries, but that horse very nearly won the Ida Chase. I think he might well have done so if he hadn't come down late. Christian Williams in tremendous form, bringing Potter's Corner out again. Oh dear, one has missed it, but he's a decent horse.
Hopefully we can start the week on the right note, because we've got, as I say, four meetings in total in the UK and Ireland to come up on Monday. We're going to take a look at one race from Southwell and one from Exeter on this edition of the podcast. We begin with Southwell's 2 o'clock first race. On the card, there is a handicap chase just shy of 3 miles is the trip. Eight runners stand their ground at the time of recording. Hopefully we maintain the field size with the dead eights. John, talk us through one or two of the runners and riders in this one.
Yes, well, they always start, don't they, with a 3 mile or a near 3 mile handicap chase at Southwell, and there's some interesting runners in most of them, as they are in the 2 o'clock here. We start with Gold Patrol. It's got to have a possibility. Gold Patrol's a point-to-point winner. Won it last June, so it's a bit of a while ago, and has been placed 3rd, 4th, 4th in races under rules. I think it's got to improve a bit, but might be there or thereabouts, and certainly one for the frame. Gin Conti comes next, spelt, alas, differently from that excellent beverage with a D and a J in front of it. Gin Conti, though, is one I like. I thought ran promisingly when fourth at Newbury last time. Now, that was a much better race than this. Another thing to suggest that Gin Conti would go fairly well was that he's been consistent throughout, and he's trained by Harry Whittington. Now, I've been noting Harry Whittington over the past month, and he's had one or two really good runs, and I think Gin Conti is certainly worthwhile considering in this race. For form, recent form and real consistency, you can't do better than Briac, Tim Vaughan's horse in this contest. Won a couple of chases in very good style, and the trip was probably a little bit too short at Sandown last time out, but it was Sandown, and although both Sandown and Southwell begin with S for sugar, Sandown is a quality racecourse, and to be placed there over a trip probably short of the best was good form by Briac. And others in the race who might conceivably get a squeak, I thought Son of the King had got us just a chance, Nicky Martin's horse. But I think it is between Briac and Gin Conti. And Briac is the form horse of the two, but Gin Conti could be the improver, and he will be my choice.
Gin Conti and the selection in that opening race today at Southwell, the 2 o'clock. On we go to Exeter now for their 4:45, another handicap chase, but this time we're over a trip of 2 miles and a furlong. Once again, however, there are eight runners that go to post, and one or two in decent enough form. John, where do you go for a selection?
Yeah, well, they are in decent form. We've got the Frost in action. Triple Chief, for example, has been placed on the last occasions and could be a force in this race. I like Kavanagh's Corner too. I thought that is interesting because Daryl Jacob rides. He is in tremendous form, you know, Daryl Jacob. He didn't perhaps get his luck at Cheltenham, but I was at Carlisle. He won on his only ride at Carlisle last time out. He did the same at Musselburgh the following Sunday. He's really strong. Now, he's riding Kavanagh's Corner for Simon Earle. Whether the trip is a little bit too short has to be question mark, but if you look at the form, Kavanagh's Corner has been very consistent and runs well at Exeter, and it would be nice to see Simon Earle get another winner, because of course he was one of the trainers who, well, really nearly completely crippled out of his career when the Somerset Marshes were flooded a couple of years ago. So that would be what I call a good winner. And then we have the veteran, Breedon Hill lad, 12 years old, loves Fontwell, loves Exeter. Sue Gardner trains, Lucy Gardner gets on tremendously well. I thought Breedon Hill lad had got a definite squeak in this race. Others a little bit tricky. Johnny Humer's got a squeak of form. Exmoor missed two for Victor Dartnell. But I thought it was between Kavanagh's Corner and Breedon Hill lad, and I will go for Kavanagh's Corner.
Kavanagh's Corner then is the one for John in that 4:45 race at Exeter. Goes with his early selection at Southwell of Gin Conti in the 2 o'clock. Don't forget you can join us live on Racing Radio from 1:50. John will be back in the studio alongside the Wizard Darren Owen, and Gary Capewell will be here as well for Southwell, Exeter and Plumpton, and maybe just a little sliver of Navan as well. There's a good race on their programme. So hopefully you can join us for all of that. John, thank you very much. Pleasure as always, and enjoy it on Monday.
That's great, Sam. Look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.